Help! You know, the most important thing that you believe in life is what you believe about God. I believe it affects our past, it affects how we face our futures, affects how we live, and it affects our eternity. And unfortunately, I think there are a lot of things that can kind of distort our view of God. Your background, your experiences, maybe some of the pain or loss or grief that you've been through, they tend to distort our view. Media certainly distorts our view of God. I think Hollywood's just a bit twisted when it comes to the topic. What other people tell you, your friends, people you work with maybe, will distort your view of God. Our insecurities and definitely a thing called sin will distort our view. And the result is that I believe most people live with a very inaccurate picture of God. And it makes me want to scream and go, help, help. They really don't know what God is like. You know, some people think God's kind of like this impersonal deity way out in the middle of nowhere, doesn't really care what's going on in our life. Some people picture God like a vindictive judge that really you can't please, that just wants to kind of mess your life up. Some see God as this cruel kind of a tyrant. Other people, God is unrealistic. For some, God's kind of like a pushover, kind of like a genie that, hey, you need something, I'll ask God for it. But here's the problem. When we don't understand who God is, we end up making a lot of mistakes in life. You know, for some, they just disregard God. People say, well, I don't believe in God. I've had people tell me that. I don't know if they expect me to be shocked or what, but usually when someone says that to me, they say, well, I don't believe in God. And I'll go, well, why don't you tell me about the God you don't believe in, because I might not believe in that God either. And they'll usually say something, well, I don't believe in a God who, and then they fill in the blank. And most of the time, after they share that, I'll go, I don't believe in that God either. And in fact, that's not what the Bible says about God. I have never tried in all my years of ministry to defend a God who really isn't God. You know, sometimes people will dismiss God. Other people create little gods, and we're really good in this society about doing this. And people will say, well, I like to think about God like this. And again, fill in the blank, and they'll create their own little God. They have their own description. It's their opinion. And the problem is, your opinion, my opinion, doesn't really matter. When it comes to God, the fact is we're just kind of guessing at that point. What matters is truth. If you don't have that true understanding of who God is, what God's really like, if you don't understand how much God really cares about you, what you end up doing is building your life on a very faulty foundation. And I believe when something major comes along, when you have that major conflict or problem or that dire situation in your life, if you've created a God that really isn't God, help. Help. The fact is that some of you, that's where you are today. You know, help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know, I need somebody. Help. You ever been there today? I mean, in those moments, you need help. You don't need fantasy. You don't need make-believe. You don't need, maybe I'll get lucky. Maybe I can survive this. You need God in those moments. And in fact, I have no doubt that if we really understood who God is, what God is like, if we really knew him, we would love him. We would trust him. We would turn to him in those times when we need help in our life. In fact, we would want to follow God's plan for our lives. That's why Jesus Christ came to this world. Why? So we would know God. In fact, Jesus spent 3 years of his ministry, and he's touring the Middle East, and he's telling stories, and he's teaching truths about God. He was pointing people to God. One time Jesus told three stories. It was the only time in Scripture where we have him telling three stories, same exact point, one right after another. I'd encourage you could read it this week, Luke 15 is where the stories are found. But the first story Jesus tells, he tells a story about the lost sheep. And he tells about this shepherd that had 100 sheep, and one of the sheep get lost. And so the shepherd leaves the 99 in the fold, and he goes out to rescue the one sheep. And the scripture says he searches high and low, he looks everywhere. And when he finally finds the sheep, he throws a party. Then Jesus tells another story. It says about a woman that had a lost coin. Now, we really don't know a lot on this story, but we think the woman had 10 coins, and we think it maybe was her life savings. And she loses a coin, and so she kind of goes through where she might have lost it, and she realizes it's got to be in the house somewhere, and so she turns the house upside down. She's sweeping and dusting, and she looks in every room. And when she finds the coin, she calls the neighbors, and she throws a party. You see a theme here? We've got two parties now. Then he tells a story about the prodigal son. You know, this is the son that goes to his dad. He asks for his inheritance. That would have been a little bit scandalous for that day, but dad gives him the money. He goes off. He spends all the money, squanders it, until he's broke. Now this young man's in a dire situation, and he needs help. He's going to starve to death, and so he starts wandering home. And scripture says that every day the father would go out and watch for his son, hoping his son would return home. And finally, he sees his son, he returns home, and he throws a Class A party. His son that was lost is found. And it was a reason to celebrate. And I believe Jesus wanted us to get this. He said, I'm going to tell you again and again and again. So he tells the three stories. What do the stories tell us about God? That we matter to God. You matter to God. God cares more about you than you'll ever know, than you will ever understand, than you will ever fully realize. The fact is that there is no rest in any of the stories until that which was lost was found. Friends, that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to help you and me. He's interested about what's going on in our lives. My two girls, when they were little, they were a handful. They tried walking in front of cars, touching hot burners on the stove. They would climb up on stuff and get so high that it was dangerous and scary. And every time, they desperately needed rescued. They didn't have the slightest idea that they needed help, though. Now, it's interesting how things change. How many parents we got out here? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Now, my girls, they grew up. As they matured, their perspective shifted. And then they had kids. I've got four grandkids. Help, you know. Now, when I was younger, much younger than today. Really? Wow. Happy Easter to you too. I never needed anybody's help in any way. But then those days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I changed my mind, opened up the door. I mean, maybe you realized that you need a Savior. Maybe you haven't. See, that's why we're celebrating today, Easter. You know, salvation made possible because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And that's why the angels proclaimed that first Christmas. You know, rejoice, the Savior's been born to you in Bethlehem. You need a Savior. You need someone to rescue you. You need someone to help you with a lot of things. You know, to one, to help heal your guilty past. The fact is, I have never met anybody that doesn't have some degree of guilt. The fact is, we've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we shouldn't have done. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. And the bottom line, we've all broken God's laws. Now, when you break human laws, you pay a penalty. When you break God's laws, you pay a penalty. God's a loving God, but God doesn't look, and so we mess up, and God goes, that's okay, don't worry about it, not a big deal. No, we've blown it. The fact is, we've blown it, we've messed up. I've blown it many times in my life. I really deserve to be punished for what I've done. I need help. And here's the good news. Scripture says this, Hebrew writer writes, he says, Christ died to rescue those who have sinned and broken the old agreement. Now he brings his chosen ones, a new agreement with its guarantee of God's eternal blessing. Jesus Christ came to this world and he died for us. He paid the penalty for what you did wrong, what I did wrong. It's a new agreement. It's kind of like if I were to pay the penalty for you, like if I was to go to jail for a crime you committed. That's what Jesus Christ did for you. You know, God's Son took your place. He paid the debt. He paid for the crime. He paid for what we've done. You know, every sin we've ever committed, every sin we will ever commit, it's been paid. And it was paid for on the cross. And to me, that's the greatest news. You just got to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, God wants to rescue you from that guilt, from that past. I believe, even if there wasn't a heaven, it would absolutely be worth it to be able to live life without guilt. To live life forgiven. See, God wants to help us with that past. God also sent Jesus Christ to help us conquer death. You know, fear of death is a universal thing. You want to mess with someone sometime, ask them out for coffee. Sit down at the table with them and go, hey, want to talk about death? Serve them decaf, by the way. I mean, we don't like to talk about it, do we? The fact is, it's uncomfortable. The Hebrew writer says, Jesus took on flesh and blood so that by dying, he could destroy the one who held power over death, the devil, and destroy the fear of death that has always held people captive. Friends, for us, death, it's a transfer as a Christian. You know, Jesus broke the power. That's why we celebrate. That's why Easter is so important in the life of the church. You know, John writes, Jesus said this. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me will live even though they die. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this? You know, death is the end of this body. But it's not the end of me. It's not the end of you. We were made to last forever. And we're going to last forever. One of two places, heaven or hell. You know, the Bible says that there are real places, that there's a real heaven, and there's a real hell. And Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross. And he came to help us. Why? So we could go to heaven. So we could go to a perfect place. And I know every time I talk on this topic, someone will be sitting there going, well, you know, I think I'm good enough to get into heaven. You have to be perfect. Which means you got to bat 1,000. Which means I'm out. I can't do it. You can't do it. Help. God knew that we needed help on this one. And so he sends Jesus Christ to die for our sins. That's how much God cares. That's how much God cares about us. You know, I know in an audience this size that some of you are facing very, very serious situations in your life. Some of you are facing some challenges that you're not even sure you can meet. Some of you are trying to make major decisions in your life without Jesus Christ. Some of you are heading for trouble. The disaster's inevitable. You're going to hit the wall at some point. I mean, some of you, you've jumped off the 100-story building. And you're free-falling. And you're about 10 stories down. How's it going? Good! So far. And here's what you don't realize. You need help. You need help. I mean, you may be at different points. Some of you are 40 stories down. But the end, friends, is not in doubt. You need help. God's plan, maybe God's only plan today, was to get your attention and to just say, I care about what's going on in your life. I care about everything that is happening. God cares. God wants to help you. You know, God wants to help you live a very purposeful life. You know, Jesus said, John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. It's talking about the devil, Satan. But Jesus says, I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its what? Fullness. Do you know why Jesus said that? Because I think Jesus looked at a crowd much like this, and Jesus realized that people don't really live. They survive. People exist. They get by. People go from job to job. They go from work to home. They run here. They run there. They're trying to make it work. They go back and forth, but they're not really living, just existing. And so most people don't have the slightest idea what their purpose in life is. You know, most people don't know why God put them here. Most people don't know why Jesus Christ came. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they've been. And Jesus comes along and he says, I have come that you might have life, life in all of its fullness. That God made us on purpose. God made us for a purpose. God has a plan for your life. And when you get in a relationship with God, that's when you begin to understand it. I mean, over time, it becomes clearer and clearer. And if you don't get anything else this morning, get this. God made you on purpose for a purpose. And you know what that purpose was? To know God. To know God. You know, God wants to get involved in your life. He wants to participate in your life. He wants to help you with life. You were made to have a relationship with him. Not religion. Relationship. You were not put on this earth just to work a job and make money and retire and then die. God made you. God loves you. God cares about you. And it is the most amazing concept to me that God wants a relationship with me and with you. Every one of us, God wants that. And yet every one of us has rejected that in some way. You know, those times when we said, you know, God, I'm doing my own thing. God, I'm going to live my own life. I have my dreams, I have my plans, my ambitions. God, I'm going to do this, bless it. And we kind of thumb our nose at God, you know, forget you, God, do my stuff here. Relationship. God wants relationship. It's kind of like the bridge gets broke down. You know, sometimes, do you ever pray and you feel like God's a million miles away? Well, you know, part of the reason is because that bridge is broke. That communication line gets broke down. And God says, you know what? I'm going to take initiative and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix the conduit. Scripture says this. In other words, God was using Christ to restore his relationship with humanity, to rebuild that bridge. He didn't hold people's faults against them. The Bible's very clear that when we come to God, when we turn to him, when we confess our faults and our sins and our mistakes, that God doesn't condemn us. In fact, God cares about us. God comforts us. God helps us change. I mean, you may consider yourself the number one atheist in the world. You may consider yourself to have just messed up so bad and committed so many sins that it's unpardonable. But I want you to hear, God wants a relationship with you. You may have done stuff that you're ashamed of. God wants a relationship with you. You may have done some stuff that you regret, and it has marked your life. God wants a relationship with you. I mean, you may have committed adultery, had an abortion. You may have turned to drugs. You know, you may have stolen and robbed, whatever. God wants a relationship with you. It doesn't matter. There is nothing, hear this, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less or love you more. See, God's love is based on who he is, not on what you've done. You may feel unworthy, you may feel helpless in your life, but God wants a relationship with you nonetheless. And friends, I will never forget when I finally really understood that. It was almost 40 years ago. I remember being out at Lake Springfield Christian Assembly, and I remember just praying. It was a Christian camp, and I remember praying and just saying, God, I do not understand it all, but I want to know you, and I want that abundant life. You know, I need help in my life, so I'm just going to open my life up to you. And that very, very simple prayer, very simple prayer, was a turning point in my life. It has served me well through the years. And I have to admit, when I prayed that prayer, nothing spectacular happened. I mean, there was no thunder, no lightning, no bells ringing, no angels. I didn't cry. I didn't get real emotional. It was just a simple matter-of-fact prayer. And I just said, God, if you want to have a relationship with me, I think I want that too. And friends, I gave the reins to God that day, wisest decision I ever made. Change me. Change me. You know, Romans 5, Paul writes, he says, so now we can rejoice and our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Do you hear that? Friends with God. Can you imagine that? Friends with God. You ever notice people that are name droppers? Sometimes they like get their value from people they associate with. So I read that verse, and I think, you know, I was talking the other day to my good friend. Oh, who? God. But Scripture says God's a friend. In fact, Jesus would teach that we could talk to God in very intimate and very loving terms, very personal terms. He says, our Father. You know, in the Aramaic, it's Abba, it's Daddy. You can call God Daddy. You can call God Friend. A personal, warm, intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. I mean, how do you do that? Well, the same way you have a relationship with anyone. You got to talk to them. You got to spend time with him. You got to get to know God. You got to trust God. And one of the great things about a relationship with God that's completely different from any other relationship is you never have communication breakdowns. God always understands. But it begins with a decision. It's kind of like getting married. I remember when Cindy and I got married, we stood in front of a very small group in our home. And I said two words that changed my life. I said, "I do." I had no idea what I was doing at that point. No idea. In all seriousness, I've been trying to work out the implications of those two words ever since. Friends, how do you become a follower of Jesus Christ? I think it's very similar. You just say, "I do. I do." You just say, "I do" to God. "I do believe that you sent your son to die for me. I do believe and accept that Jesus Christ, I want him for my Savior. I do want a relationship with you, God." Friends, when you really, really care about somebody, the more you love someone, you find ways to show that love, don't you? I mean, when Cindy and I first fell in love, I could not keep money in my pocket. I couldn't. I'd see something. I wanted to get it for her. I wanted her to know that I loved her. I was trying to show my love all kinds of ways. You want to know how much God loves you? I mean, there's this amazing scripture. It's really a life scripture, something you ought to embed in your heart. But it's an amazing promise if you establish and develop a relationship with God. Paul writes this, he says, "My God will meet all your needs. He will meet them in keeping with his wonderful riches," and he never runs out, by the way, "that comes to you because you belong to Jesus Christ." That's a promise from God. Now, it's not for everybody. That's a promise to meet the needs of those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God. God will meet what? All your needs. All. God promises to meet all my needs, all your needs. Not greeds, needs. If you have a relationship with him. See, there's a contingency. People ask me, they go, "Well, does that mean physical needs?" Yes. "Does that mean spiritual needs?" Yes. "Does it mean emotional needs?" Yes. "Does it mean financial needs?" Yes. "Does it mean relational needs?" Yes. All my needs. You know, when I finally understood that, when that clicked, when I got it, that God said he would help me, that he would meet all my needs, that he'd get my feet back on the ground in life, it took all the stress out of life, all the worry, all the pressure, all the uncertainty. And friends, I have lived a life with a lot of gratitude. I just want to go, "Thanks, God. It is amazing. It is a life changer." Some of you are carrying all that stuff around with you. Let it go. You know, a relationship can do that. It will change you. God will work in your life, constantly helping you, strengthening you, guiding you, protecting you, healing you, leading you, providing. Amazing love. Steadfast faithfulness. I look back on my life. I cannot imagine for one moment living any other way than having that relationship. There's a line in the song that says, "Now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence vanished into haze. I need God. But every now and then I feel insecure." Still happens. "I know that I just need you, God, like I never did before." Here's a question this morning. If God cares this much about you and about your life, don't you think you ought to get to know him? Does it make sense? I mean, sadly, the Bible says that a lot of people are just going to miss on this one. Paul writes, he says, some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life. The most important thing in life. They don't know God. You can make $1 million. You could get your picture on Rolling Stone or Newsweek or whatever you think's the hippest thing out there. You could have 100,000 friends and followers, Facebook, Twitter. You could be famous. You could experience every pleasure, every comfort in this world. You could have everything that this world has to offer. But if you do not know God, you've missed the purpose of living. I want to challenge you to get to know God today. Again, not through religion, not through rituals, not through rules, not through regulations, but through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You know, my prayer today for you is this, and I pray that you, me, all of God's holy people, will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. How wide, how long, how high, how deep that love is. In other words, I don't want you to just know it. Some of you know it. I mean, you go, oh yeah, I've heard that my whole life. It's not enough. I want you to feel it. I want you to experience it. Most importantly, live it. You just got to say yes to God. You know, what do you have to lose if you do that? Guilt, worry, fear, boredom, bitterness, hell, a few other things. What do you have to gain? Well, I think everything. Past forgiven, home in heaven, purpose for living, abundant life, living stress-free, guilt-free. I mean, what a deal. You know, why not today? Why not today? You know, God's waiting. He's waiting to help you live life to its fullest. I'm going to invite band come up. They're going to lead us in worship. Today, a couple things. We've got prayer teams that will be down front. Maybe you got something going on in your life. You just need prayer. You can come up. They'll pray with you. You can share as little or as much as you want. You can just say, hey, I need prayer. But they'll be glad to pray with you. Some of you, maybe today's the day you make Christ your Savior. You know, I can't think of a better way to celebrate Easter than to say, you know what? I do, God. I believe you came. I believe you died for me. And to just take that step and, again, just say, hey, I want salvation. I want Christ as my Savior. Let him pray for you. And let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, I can't imagine that first morning when you burst out of the tomb. God, the victory was won. It was won on the cross. God, I thank you that there are many of us today that would stand and give testimony to changed life, power of at work in our lives. God, I thank you that we can have that relationship. Lord, I know there are some here today that need to take that step. And Lord, I pray your Spirit would just prompt them that they would make today the day. God, we just lift our voices this morning and praise and pray that we would live each day in light of that resurrection morning, that we would live victorious. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And God's people said, amen. Just remain seated. Allow this song just to minister to you right now.